Have you ever snapped at your child and immediately wondered, where did that come from? The way we parent is often a ghost of our own childhood experiences. When your toddler's tantrum triggers disproportionate anger, it's rarely about the spilled juice. It's about how that moment reconnects you to times you felt unimportant or unloved as a child. These emotional echoes cause us to react to our history rather than our child's present needs. Take Oscar, who felt overwhelming rage whenever his adopted son dropped food. In therapy, he discovered this reaction stemmed from his grandfather rapping his knuckles for the same behavior decades earlier. Once he made this connection, he could separate his past trauma from his son's innocent messiness. The way we speak to ourselves silently programs our children's future self-talk. When you mutter, "I'm hopeless," or "I can't do anything right," your child absorbs these patterns like a sponge. They learn to judge themselves with the same harshness you apply to yourself, undermining their capacity for joy before they even understand what's happening. Our inner critic often goes unnoticed because we're so accustomed to its constant commentary. Breaking this cycle requires awareness. When you catch your inner critic speaking, don't argue with it. You'll always lose. Instead, acknowledge it without engaging. You're entitled to your opinion. Then deliberately do what your inner critic says you can't. The labels good parent and bad parent create harmful extremes that prevent honest self-examination. Similarly, avoid labeling your children. Rather than calling them the quiet one or the troublemaker, describe specific behaviors you appreciate. "I liked how hard you concentrated," instead of "you're so smart." This encourages growth without restrictive judgments. Family structure matters less than relationship quality. Whether nuclear, single-parent, or same-sex parent families, children's outcomes depend more on financial stability and parental dynamics. UK data shows 25% of children in single-parent households match outcomes of conventional families. During separation, parents' words about each other deeply affect their child. Since children identify with both parents, criticism of one parent becomes internalized self-criticism, creating loyalty conflicts. Human connection starts at birth through noises, gestures, and turn-taking games. While shushing discourages communication, strong parent-child bonds form through responsive conversations, beginning with synchronized breathing and gestures. Studies show mothers and four-month-olds who develop turn-taking patterns typically form secure attachment bonds by age one. This early synchronization explains why activities like singing together feel meaningful. Phone distraction endangers these connections. Parents who are physically present but mentally absent miss crucial developmental cues, creating emotional voids similar to addiction-related absence. Regular screen-free engagement builds lasting emotional security. Becoming a parent reveals our emotional nature. Babies are pure feeling, and our responses shape their emotional development. When we honor their feelings, even difficult ones, children learn emotions can be shared and managed. Adult depression often stems from childhood experiences where emotions weren't properly understood or soothed, limiting one's capacity to handle difficult feelings. 10-year-old Lucas attempted suicide despite having loving parents because his feelings were never validated. They'd distract him whenever he expressed sadness about their absence. After this wake-up call, they learned to listen without fixing and prioritize time with him, discovering that presence and validation matter more than words. When 4-year-old Nova tantrums about her car seat, her father's attempts to cajole failed. But when he validated her feelings, "It's really hard for you to see Max in your seat," she calmed down. By acknowledging her disappointment, Nova felt understood and cooperated. All behavior is communication, especially in children with limited language. Instead of labeling actions as good or bad, view them as convenient or inconvenient and seek their underlying message. Children develop 4 essential social skills at varying paces: tolerating frustration, flexibility, problem solving, and empathy. Challenging behavior often signals struggles with unmastered developmental milestones. When children act out, they're usually expressing unmet emotional needs, They require connection, preparation for transitions, and help processing feelings, as illustrated when Gina's daughter Aifa melted down after a late nursery pickup. Children live in the present moment and struggle with sudden changes. When parents rush or prioritize appearances over connection, difficult behavior often follows. Trust that challenging phases will pass naturally. Focus on what works in the present rather than future concerns. Whether it's bed sharing or other temporary solutions, children will seek independence when developmentally ready. We often try to dismiss or distract from difficult emotions, especially in children. But unacknowledged feelings don't disappear. They go underground where they fester and cause problems later. Adult depression often stems from childhood experiences where emotions weren't properly addressed. When children face strong emotions without support, their ability to handle unpleasant feelings diminishes over time. 10-year-old Lucas attempted suicide despite having loving parents who unknowingly dismissed his emotions by trying to cheer him up whenever he expressed sadness about their frequent absences. After this crisis, his father learned to listen without fixing, focusing on understanding Lucas's feelings. When 4-year-old Nova threw tantrums about her car seat, her father's attempts to reason failed, but when he validated her feelings, "It's really hard to see Max in your seat," she calmed down. By acknowledging her disappointment, Nova felt understood and became more flexible. Children who receive consistent emotional support develop resilience and optimism, reducing their risk of future depression or anxiety. The message isn't that they'll never feel bad, but that they can handle difficult emotions with support. A mother and her 4-month-old baby engage in a dance of expressions and coos, taking turns responding to each other. This early turn-taking becomes the foundation for all future communication, as vital as basic needs. Babies communicate through sounds, gestures, and cries, seeking reciprocity. When parents respond and treat pre-verbal children as communication partners, they build mutual respect that fosters healthy relationships. Connected parents engage in these conversations through synchronized breathing and expressions. Healthy communication requires mutual influence, not one-sided dominance. When children feel unheard, relationships deteriorate into hopelessness or rebellion. Dismissing a child's perspective damages connection by devaluing their voice. Modern technology presents a new challenge. Parents who are physically present but mentally absent due to screens miss crucial developmental cues, creating emotional unavailability that can lead children toward addictive behaviors. The foundation of mental health lies in authentic communication, being seen, heard, and having impact on those who matter most. Children develop enduring confidence when they feel their communication matters. "No, mine," your toddler shouts, clutching your phone. Your response shapes both the immediate moment and your child's understanding of relationships. Children need both love and boundaries. A boundary is the line drawn before reaching your limit. State them calmly but firmly. "I cannot allow you to play with my keys," rather than "you are not to be trusted with keys." This defines yourself, not the child. Empty threats weaken authority. With young children, boundaries often require physically, but respectfully, removing them while explaining why. Consistent action teaches behavior before words make sense. Frame boundaries positively. "Paper is for painting on," rather than "don't paint on walls." Express your honest feelings. "I'm not comfortable with more screen time," instead of "you've watched too much TV." With teenagers whose brains combine intense emotions with limited impulse control, boundaries become vital. Practice collaborative problem solving, define issues, explore feelings, and find solutions together. When setting consequences, maintain self-definition. "I am keeping you home because I need a break from worry." Effective boundaries aren't walls, but clear definitions that create security. They communicate, "I love you exactly as you are," and "I will help you navigate this world with respect for yourself and others."